If you like to cook or appreciate a good meal, seasoning is important to you. Regularly, you think or you say, that has too much or too little salt. Disciples of Jesus are seasoned by word and sacraments, by sin, by life, by death, by devil. So what does a well-seasoned disciple taste like? Think you know where I'm going with this, don't you? I start with Star Trek Season 1, Episode 1, the original, and the salt vampire. Again, I was going to use that image for the bulletin cover, but it's just too scary. But scary, monstrous even, fits right into this text. Listen to Jesus. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. There are two kinds of millstone, one turned by hand and another, much larger, turned by a donkey. Jesus says, rather than cause a child or perhaps a new believer to sin, that is, say, by not calling sin, sin, or by saying it's okay to sin, or by communing with those you know confess a different Jesus than you do, well, you'd be better off wearing cement overshoes. Think of it. Jesus gives you the picture of dying at the hands of mobsters, being drowned alive. Picture it. See the rope being tied around your neck? See several men throwing a huge millstone off the bridge? And you're dragged along, down, 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 alive into the depths till your lungs burst. Better that than failing to be salt. A salt vampire, then, is tame, a tame image in comparison. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to the image of cutting off your hand. And Aaron Ralston did that to free himself from a boulder. Then Jesus goes to amputating your foot, trapping muskrats. If you didn't check the trap soon enough, they'd gnaw off a leg rather than die in the trap. The images get more ghastly still. Plucking out your own eye. Why start talk of well-seasoned disciples with the stuff of horror movies, of sci-fi, of nightmares? To set these images over against the ones Jesus gives you of what you're trying to avoid by such drastic actions. Hell, the place where each person has their own worm devouring them, and it never dies. Look at Prometheus. There an eagle forever eats a part of his liver. Here is the word for the worm that feeds on dead bodies. Hell is that place where everyone has their own maggot, and where you are forever burning but never burned up. Talk about well-seasoned disciples starts with such grisly images because heaven and hell are at stake here. But in day-to-day life, it doesn't feel that way. Your education, your income, your social status, your opinion of self, of sin, of salvation, that seems so important, count for nothing in matters of heaven and hell. Your relationship to Christ and the day-to-day mundane things of life, that determines everything. Things done literally upon the name of me are never forgotten, and they are always praiseworthy. Give a mere cup of water to someone in Jesus' name, and it's rewarded by Jesus, whom Jesus looks to protect, watch over, reward in this life, and with everlasting life, are all who believe in me. See me in that text in all caps and bold. Believe in the me who live day-to-day life in your shoes under the requirements God gave to mankind. Believe in me who live perfectly in your shoes, never sinning in thought, word, or deed. Believe in me who never failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Believe in me, who never gave in to lust, greed, envy, or hatred. and believe in me, who though a perfect man was punished as the worst sinner ever. Believe in me, whom all of God's wrath poured out on. Believe in me, whom maggots devoured eternally and hellfire burned unmercifully till the punishments of God's holy law were completed, finished, and his anger put out. All who believe in me, says Jesus, enter life rather than a living death. So whatever the cost, pay it. Better to be one hand, foot, or eye in heaven than have two hands, feet, and eyes in hell. Nothing you have or can gain is worth losing heaven. Not even the whole world is. But the truth of the matter is people give up heaven for just a piece of the world all the time. For a few moments pleasure in life, to a lifetime living as they damn well please, people exchange that for eternal life all the time. You hear this text as a terrifying warning, so loud and scary, they hear nothing else. The Greek ways of expressing the things leading up to the millstone, the cutting, the maggots, and the flames are a warning, but they're also a redirection. The first phrase is kai os an, and that's a very broad warning. Whosoever at any time is a death trap, literally, for even one of these little ones, better a millstone for him. But then we come to the hand, the foot, or the eye being a death trap, and that's a contrary to fact conditional sentence. Jesus begins each with kai eon, if ever your hand, foot, or eye is a death trap, well then cut it off. See, there's a rhyme and a cadence to the Greek. If ever is a death trap, cut it off. If ever is a death trap, cut it off. But the fact is, our hand, foot, or eye, they don't cause us to sin. They don't become death traps. We've all heard of people who thought they were being faithful to Jesus and they followed this text literally. They thought by the outward act of obedience, of cutting off their hand, foot, or eye, they could avoid eternal maggots and flames. Such a misunderstanding was already there in the early church. Already in the 4th century, we read this. To follow literally the command would fail to hear its meaning. And Jesus' meaning is that the incentive should be cut off, not the members. If chicken isn't well seasoned, the remedy is not to remove a wing or a leg, is it? But by saying it the way he does, our Lord cuts through the clamor of this world and our ever craving and craven flesh that directs us away from things eternal to focus on the here and now. Listen to how John says it. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the boastful pride of biological life is not from God, but from the world. When what Scripture regards as passing away things become forever things, there's a big problem. But the answer is not, this time I'm serious. I'm going to put eternal things first, and I mean it. You know, when anyone from friend to spouse to child to co-workers makes such vows and protestations like this, the one thing for sure is they're going to fail again. So once Jesus has your attention, once you see that heaven and hell are what is on the line, he plunges us into utter despair and so silences our vows to do better. He says, everyone's going to be salted with hellfire. What hope do I then have? This self-despair is good. It's always good to be left despairing of self, never good to be left despairing of God's grace in Christ. And Jesus doesn't leave us with the salt of hellfire licking at our feet. He leaves us with a promise. Hear Jesus saying, you do have salt in yourselves. Now that's in accordance with the Sermon on the Mount. where Jesus told his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. Not you might be, not you should be, not you could be, not you better be, but you are. You are salt by his word. He calls you brothers and sisters, and therefore you are. He declares you washed of your sins in baptism, and therefore you are. He pronounces you forgiven in absolution, and that's what you are. He calls this bread his body and that wine his blood, and that is what they are. And note, Jesus says, we have salt in ourselves, not just in a part of ourselves, not just in our hand, feet, or eyes, but in our entire person. You are salt, and salt does three things. It seasons, preserves, and cleanses. Christ making us salt means we're seasoned with forgiveness, life, and salvation. We have what the Catholics call the odor of sanctity about us. We smell of his forgiveness, his life, and his salvation. We taste like Christmas. We smell like Easter lilies. And we look like salt shakers. The salt Jesus has made us in ourselves pours out of us. And as it does, it preserves the world. Before we refrigeration, the only way to preserve meat was to salt it. It stops the decay of death. That the world is dying, even scientists admit. Things are coming apart. They're becoming undone. Christians in the world, all over the world, just by being here, are slowing the decay. We pray every Sunday the Lord's Prayer. We say, as he told us to, always with the plurals. It's our Father, our daily bread. It's forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. One reason for the old custom of ringing the church bell during the praying of the Lord's Prayer was to let the entire surrounding community know we're praying to God for grace and mercy for the whole community, not just those in this church building. In so doing, the world is preserved. You are salt in yourselves. You season, you preserve, and you cleanse the wounds of others. Jesus says you have salt in yourselves, and then comes a clear imperative. You must be at peace with each other. The imperatives of the law follow the indicatives of the gospel. Jesus says, be as you are. You are salt in yourselves, and one of the properties of salt is that it cleans. As we think God sees us, that's how we're going to see others. If we see God at war with us, God wrathful with us, God judging us and sending us to eternal maggots and flame, as he most certainly does outside of Christ, well, that's how we're going to see all others. But you have salt in yourselves. Every part of you tastes like Jesus, has been preserved for eternal life, and been cleansed of all sins. So God sees you as we sing. Redeemed, restored, forgiven. That's how we can see others in Christ. And that's the context here. An unnamed man casting out demons in Jesus' name was stopped by the disciples because he was not with the apostles. Nope. The issue is not who is with us or not. It's who's with Jesus. Salt is salt, you know. Insofar as anyone is in Christ, they are salt, and we are to be at peace with them. How many recipes say salt according to taste? Now that's a very subjective standard. When it comes to our salting, be assured that Jesus does it by word and sacrament, and that he always does it just right. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.